It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter. That's some
Colbert.
Hey there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is November 1st of 2022. My goodness. Just 2 months left in the year. That's I can't wrap my head around it. Nonetheless, another jam-packed show for you today. Thanks for being here, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page, 1650TheFan. Type that in. You'll find it. Then hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Great day, like most every day, to be following us on social media because we're pushing out those scores from the first day, quarterfinal day of the high school state volleyball tournament, which features a number of area schools competing. We've got some finals that I'll bring to you here in just a few short moments during area sports news and scores, and a couple games going on live right now. So exciting times right now is, of course, the Iowa High School State football playoffs are going on, and then the state volleyball tournament getting underway earlier this morning. So plenty to get to today in the stack for area sports news and scores that we'll bring you here, as always, in just a few short moments to lead off the show. Know that you can dial me up, 319-277-1918, with any questions or comments to add to the show, or you could dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show your questions or comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, fire away. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. It's not only where you can stream all of our great programming, but also where you can get the podcast of this show and all sorts of local and statewide sports content. Make sure you make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. After we're done here in the opening segment, we'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this beautiful Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back from that first timeout, and our friend of the show, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network, is slated to join us. Mentioned yesterday on the show that a colleague of David's in the 24, as a part of the 24/7 Sports Network, wrote about basically just a report, or his reporting that, not David's, his colleagues, reporting that there is, I think in this case you would call it informed speculation. I would imagine that if he's reporting on it, he's got at least two sources that he believes are accurate on it. And again, this wasn't David. This was a colleague of his in the 24/7 Sports Network. Anyways, long story short, Brian Ferentz may well be looking to get back into the NFL as a result. I don't know. Maybe it's not fair to say as a result of his struggles with the Iowa Hawkeyes, but I would say it damn sure has to be as a result of his struggles as offensive coordinator with the Hawkeye football program. So we'll see. We'll see what David might be able to add, or just anything at all as it relates to that. But want to talk to him, of course, about the Hawkeyes getting a 33-13 win over Northwestern this past Saturday. Is there anything at all the Hawkeyes can actually take from that game and move forward with and feel good about? Or does Northwestern stink so bad that if you're really being honest, as you look yourself in the mirror, you go, you know what, it was great, we had a fun Saturday, needed the positive vibes, Lord knows, but like take all of it with a grain of salt, right? So we'll see what David has to say about that and a whole lot more. The Hawkeyes go on the road to take on Purdue this Saturday, so they're going to have their hands full, that's for sure. We'll touch on the matchup with the Boilermakers as well when he joins us. After we're done talking Hawkeye football, hey, and we'll talk a little Hawkeye basketball as well with David, as Fran McCaffrey's team had an exhibition last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena against Truman State, which coincidentally is led by former Hawkeye great Jeff Horner. Jeff Horner, the coach at Truman State. That was pretty cool to be able to see him back inside Carver Hawkeye Arena last night. He's done a great job with that program. And I think it's probably just got to be a matter of time before he starts to really work his way up the ranks. And perhaps you see him coaching on a Division I sideline at some point here before too long. But we'll talk some Iowa hoops as well with David when he joins us. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side and talk even more hoops, as yesterday I mentioned that UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson was part of the typical Monday press conferences over at the alumni suite at McLeod Center on the campus of the University of Northern Iowa, and going to bring you that audio today as the Panthers are getting ready for their own exhibition. They take on Dubuque tomorrow night at 7 at McLeod Center, and Coach Jacobson had quite a bit to say, including unveiling his starting lineup for that exhibition tomorrow night. And it includes a former Cedar Falls Tiger, and maybe in most cases that would just be a dead giveaway, but there's three of them on Ben Jacobson's roster. So who among those three Panthers is going to get a starting nod tomorrow night? It might not be who you think. So we'll have that and a whole lot more when we hear audio from Coach Jake coming up in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for a Tuesday, and then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. So that's the plan, boys and girls. Just a little bit here before we dive into area sports news and scores. The NFL trade deadline has come and gone today. I know there are a bunch of Viking fans feeling really good about themselves because I work with one, that being Mark Simpson, who you hear weekday mornings between 6 and 8. He was in the studio talking to me this morning. I think it was in the 10 o'clock hour when the news broke that former Iowa tight end T.J. Hockenson traded from the Detroit Lions to the Minnesota Vikings, an interdivisional trade, which is rare to say the least, although the Vikings did business with the Lions back on draft day. So apparently there's some sort of connection there, but it was T.J. Hockenson and 2 fourth-round picks going to Minnesota for a second and third round pick, headed back to Detroit, one of the 2 fourth-round picks going to Minnesota, a conditional pick. So who knows, maybe it could be a fourth or fifth, maybe a fourth, fifth, or sixth. But nonetheless, the Vikings bolster their offense and get the former Hawkeye standout, T.J. Hockenson. And I would think that as much as I don't care to admit it as a Bears fan, that's going to be a big help for that Minnesota offense, as we all well know T.J. Hockenson, not just a threat with his ability to catch the ball and make plays, but an outstanding blocker as well. And the Vikings, when their run game's going well, that's when they're their most formidable, with Dalvin Cook and company creating some play-action passes for Kirk Cousins. So we'll have to watch. Vikings look like it's their division to lose right now with the struggles, of course, of the Packers and then you know, the Lions and the Bears, what's new. But that was pretty interesting to see. And then my Bears, speaking of, you know, they traded Robert Quinn late last week, their best pass rusher. Then yesterday, the big news that they traded Roquan Smith, their really good linebacker, former first-round pick to the Baltimore Ravens, got a second and fifth-round pick back. So the Bears were holding a couple twos, a couple fours, a good amount of draft capital, ended up flipping that two that they got in the Baltimore trade to Pittsburgh for their talented young receiver, Chase Claypool, to get Justin Fields a little bit of help that Lord knows he needs. Anybody who's watched the Bears knows that a little short talent-wise in the wide receiver department. So I'm encouraged by that. I feel like maybe it would have been a little more palatable had they not paid a second rounder. A third rounder would have sounded a lot better. But the story is, and it's crazy to think that this is kind of already out there. This is the type of stuff that usually you find out after a while. But the story goes that the second round pick that the Bears were offering the Steelers was one overall projected selection better than what the Green Bay Packers had to offer. Or something of that nature. That what the Bears offer was just slightly better when push came to shove than the Green Bay Packers, who reportedly were trying to trade for Claypool themselves. And I do like that the Bears made a buy-side trade because of, you know, selling off your two best pieces defensively. I have to imagine that's got to impact your locker room, and not in a good way. So I did wonder last night if maybe new GM Ryan Poles in his first season would make a buy-side trade like a Chase Claypool to help out that offense in Justin Fields and maybe try and bring some good vibes back into a locker room that had kind of been kicked while it's down with the Roquan Smith trade following up the Robert Quinn trade. But a number of other trades going on in the NFL, too. It's made for a pretty exciting day of things to follow along with, as this is not like it was even 5 years ago, certainly not 10, 15 years ago, where the NFL trade deadline typically just, you know, came and went without anything of note. So that's been fun. But we're going to talk a lot of football and basketball today on the show, and we'll talk Hawkeye football with David Eicholt coming up next. Right now, though, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for a Tuesday. As I mentioned, the state volleyball tournament going on, and it's in Coralville for the first time at Extreme Arena, in case you missed that. Top-seeded Des Moines Christian, they got past Union LaPorte City in a 3A quarterfinal match this morning. The Knights won the first set, but Des Moines Christian rallied to win the next three. Union finishes its incredible season, 42-9 overall. Other scores today that are final, Dyke New Hartford gets a three-set win over Carroll Kemper, and Whole Western Christian defeated Sumner Fredericksburg 3-1. A couple of matches that are ongoing at last check before going on air at the top of the hour. Denver was down 2-0 to Hinton, and right before going on the air, it looked like Wapsie Valley was going to tie it up at 1-1 apiece with Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. Try and get you an update on those two matches before we go off the air at the end of the hour. Later tonight in Class 1A in area matches, Don Bosco takes on Ankeny Christian at 6. At 8 o'clock, AGWSR battles North Tama, and Gladbrook Rhinebeck faces Holy Trinity. The state volleyball tournament goes through Thursday. As I mentioned, the Iowa basketball team hosted Truman State in an exhibition game last night, and the Hawkeyes cruised to a 118-72 win. Chris Murray led five Iowa players in double figures with 24 points. Iowa shot 64% from the field. Hawkeyes open their regular season this Friday when they host Bethune-Cookman. Iowa senior linebacker Jack Campbell has been named one of 20 semifinalists for the Chuck Bednarik Award, presented annually to the Defensive Player of the Year. The winner of the Bednarik Award will be announced December 8th as part of ESPN College Football's awards show. Campbell, a Cedar Falls native, leads the Big Ten with 82 tackles and ranks 11th nationally at 10.3 tackles per game. Iowa kicker Drew Stevens has been named Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Stevens played a big role in the Hawkeyes' win over Northwestern, made all four of his field goal attempts and all three of his PATs, connected from 29, 24, 54, and 25 yards. The 54-yarder was a career high. He also handled all kickoff duties, recorded four touchbacks, and allowed just one Wildcat return. Iowa is at Purdue this Saturday. The UNI women's basketball team plays host to Cornell College this evening for an exhibition game at McLeod Center. Game time tonight is at 6. UNI officially begins its season on Monday when it plays host to St. Thomas. For the third consecutive week, a UNI offensive lineman has earned the Missouri Valley Football Conference's Offensive Lineman of the Week Award. This week, Matthew Vanderslice, the Panthers' 6'8", 320-pound left tackle, received the honor. He anchored an offensive unit that racked up big numbers in UNI's win at number 24, Southern Illinois. Thanks to Vanderslice's blocking up front, the Panthers were able to accumulate 461 yards of total offense, including 330 passing yards from quarterback Theo Day. UNI leads the Missouri Valley Conference in total offense, averaging 438 yards per game. The Wartburg wrestling team is number one in the National Wrestling Coaches Association Top 25 preseason poll. Wartburg was first with 67 points, while Augsburg was second with 45. The Knights open their season on the road at Nebraska Wesleyan tomorrow. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we're talking Hawkeye football and Hawkeye hoops. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network, joins us next on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company, right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, the first NBA coach fired this season came today with Steve Nash out. ESPN reports it was a mutual decision. The move comes after a 2-5 start, but a win last night in the team dealing with yet another controversy involving Kyrie Irving. Jacques Vaughn will take over in the interim, but multiple reports say they'll name former assistant and currently suspended Ime Udoka their next coach. NFL trade deadline day. The Broncos sent Bradley Chubb in a fifth-round pick in 2025 to Miami for a first-round pick this year, which belongs to the 49ers, a fourth-rounder next year, and Chase Edmonds. While the Lions have shockingly made a deal within the division, sending former first-round pick TJ Hockenson to the Vikings for a second-round pick in April and a third-rounder in 2024. The Bears have acquired Chase Claypool from the Steelers for a second-round pick. And also, the struggling Colts fired offensive coordinator Marcus Brady. The change comes after a change in quarterbacks did little to spark the team. World Series continues tonight with Game 3 between the Astros and Phillies in Philadelphia with the series even at 1. I'm Rich Ecker.
Coming up later on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll see if Game 3 of the World Series gets in later. Daniel Vogelback for the Mets stops by and recap Browns and Bengals. 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Not in the car? Not a problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Don't be fooled by Liz Mathis. She's just a rubber stamp for Biden and Pelosi.
Liberal Liz Mathis. Her campaign, bankrolled by Pelosi. Her radical agenda, the same as Pelosi's.
She wants higher taxes and more government spending, just like Pelosi.
Liz Mathis opposed the largest tax cut in Iowa history.
She thinks I should pay taxes on my retirement income.
Mathis even wants to tax the mileage on my car.
If you like Nancy Pelosi, you'll love Liz Mathis.
Liberal Liz Mathis. She'll be Pelosi's voice in Washington, not yours. The Iowa choice, Ashley Hinson. Hinson will stand up to the radical Pelosi agenda, not rubber stamp it.
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are on the ballot here in Iowa, and they're going by the name Liz Mathis. I'm Ashley Hinson, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because we need to defeat them to take our country back.
Paid for by Ashley Hinson for Congress.
Carry, the world's leading taste and nutrition company for food, beverage, and pharmaceutical, is hiring. Be part of a worldwide team that's shaping the future of food. If you're dependable, can lift up to 50 pounds repetitively, and want to grow your career, join the Carry team in Vinton. Carry offers a $1,500 sign-on bonus, competitive wages, full benefits, including excellent health insurance, 3 weeks paid time off beginning year two, paid holidays, and stability within a clean, team-oriented environment. Visit jobs.carry.com to apply today. Carry is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Bears 3-5 after a road loss to the Cowboys, returning home as a 4.5-point underdog this Sunday against the Dolphins. The World Series moving to Philadelphia for Game 3 tonight. The Astros road favorites, minus 132 on the money line. The Phillies plus 122, the over-under 8. Lance McCullers Jr. gets the ball for Houston. Noah Syndergaard for Philly series tied at 1. College football, Iowa, after snapping a 3-game skid with a 33-13 win over Northwestern, now a 4-point underdog heading into Week 10 at Purdue. Iowa State trying to snap a 5-game skid at home against West Virginia. Cyclones favored by 6.5. ISU falling to Oklahoma 27-13 Saturday. Red Hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Clear skies tonight with a low of 48. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 74 tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 55. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Thursday with daytime highs approaching 72. 61, chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 72.
You are listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6, right here on The Fan.
Sam! You heard that right. Welcome back. I am your host, Cole Bear. Tuesday edition of the show continues, and we welcome our friend David Eichold, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network. You follow him on Twitter at David Eichold. And before we dig in on Iowa football and a little bit of Iowa men's basketball as well, David, a unapologetic Green Bay Packers fan, feeling a little bummed out about the trade deadline today. And David, I got to say, man, there were some people doing some good interneting earlier. At least I thought so. It was a meme of three children reaching into their Halloween sacks, and one goes, "Hey, I got Chase Claypool," and he was the Bears fan. Then the other little kid wearing the Vikings outfit goes, "Hey, I got T.J. Hockenson," and the poor little Green Bay Packers kid reached into his Halloween sack, and he goes, "Hey, I got a rock." I almost feel sorry for that young trick-or-treater.
Well, I'm jealous of the young trick-or-treater because at least the Packers would have gotten a rock.
Hey, yeah, nothing. Did you hear this? Did you hear that allegedly the Bears were the ones who beat out the Packers for Claypool?
That's sick. It's gross.
It is. Honestly, if I mean, I am not trying. I genuinely am not trying to pour gas on your fire right now. But
it's okay.
I would be upset too if I was in your shoes. The Packers. I was saying they'd be silly not to go trade for a pass catcher. Try to sign Odell Beckham on top of that, and they do nothing.
It's okay. Aaron Rodgers will continue to blame everybody else instead of taking accountability. So it's, you know, it is what it is. Packers trade away Adams, had to. They let Za'Darius Smith go. I mean, there's multiple just horrific decisions by the Packers this offseason. And, you know, right now I'm just pretty much on the board of let's tank for Caleb Williams.
Ooh.
Or C.J. Stroud or Ooh. Bryce Young. Let's just tank for somebody.
Do you think maybe you could use some ayahuasca at this point?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. This is depressing right now. It's November, and I've already given up on the Packers season.
Yikes.
But on the bright side, I'll actually be able to watch the playoffs and not care because my team won't be in it.
Yeah, it's not so bad, but don't – I'm just telling you, be leery of this, man. You don't want to be over on this side of things, all right? It gets a lot worse, just so you know. I'm a Bears and a Cubs fan, all right? You don't want to deal with this level of disappointment I've dealt with in my life.
You know what? That's fair enough. At least we got about 40 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play that's going to abruptly come to an end. But it's all good. You know, it's balanced. And, you know, you take the wins where you can get it.
Hey,
and, you know, we'll be back.
Speaking of taking the wins where you can get them, the Iowa Hawkeyes, 33-13 over Northwestern on Saturday. I suppose my first question, David, is how miserable is Northwestern football?
They're bad, man. I mean, I know why Pat Fitzgerald will never be on the hot seat because I really don't know who they can go after, and Fitzgerald loves that program, and I trust his ability to be able to bounce back eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, too, Cole, you have to be able to balance what you saw out of Iowa with how bad Northwestern is. I mean, Iowa still did some very good things, I thought. Schematically changed some things up, put a lot more wide receivers in motion. 8 different guys caught the ball, 7 different rushers. Moving Connor Colby to left guard seemed to stabilize the offensive line. And I thought Spencer Peach was playing near flawless game. I mean, especially in that first half, 14 of 18. 3 of the incompletions were either drops, and one was a great play by the Northwestern defensive back, and the other incompletion was a great throwaway by Peach to avoid the sack. So certainly some positives I think can drive the team going forward. And Iowa scoring, you know, offensively 33 points, scoring on 7 of their 8 possessions. You still would have liked to see a drive or two finish in the end zone rather than field goals. I mean, 3 of Drew Stevens' 4 field goals were within 30 yards. So, you know, that's how close Iowa came to scoring. But I did see some good things, Cole. And, you know, people might say, well, it's Northwestern. Well, on the flip side, Iowa really hasn't been able to do that against anybody this season. So yeah. I do think it's a step forward in that regard.
I will say, David, that albeit I had Iowa on TV too, was watching you and I on the first TV, and that game was an absolute thriller. So I wasn't bouncing back with my eyes as much as I would have expected. The freshman kicker, Drew Stevens, he looks like he could be a real weapon.
He's got a boot, man. And I don't know where LeVar Woods continues to breed these outstanding kickers, but Iowa fans got to keep begging that he doesn't stop, because Stevens, he's not going to be a walk-on much longer, let's put it that way. He missed 1 field goal this season. He's 11-12, hit 4 last week. And it's amazing that the job that LeVar Woods and that special teams unit continue to do, because, Cole, think about it. Marshall Cone, Caleb Shudak, Keith Duncan, Miguel Racinos, and now Drew Stevens. I mean, yeah. Iowa has been very blessed with outstanding kickers over the past decade plus. And Drew Stevens being a true freshman, it really looks like that they're going to get another 3 years out of him. And what a weapon that is for Iowa, especially when you have a true freshman booting a 54-yarder. I mean, that just shows how much potential I think he has to continue to grow and, you know, potentially play on Sundays here in a few years if he can continue that sort of trajectory.
What about Caleb Johnson and that Iowa running game? Certainly saw some flashes from him. It seems like that he's got enough talent to be a guy that can make a few game-changing runs, 2 or 3 game-changing runs in any given game. It just hasn't been there consistently. Certainly a decent amount of that has to do with the offensive line play, but with the special teams being where it's at, I'd like to think that, man, you get that run game going just a little bit better, that makes life easier on everybody else in that offense.
No doubt, and I've told you this before, Cole, that Caleb Johnson has the most size and skill and speed combination I've seen Iowa back have since maybe Marcus Coker and maybe even Sean Green. I mean, I know how crazy that sounds, but Caleb Johnson can catch the ball out of the backfield. The thing that's really impressed me the most isn't just his pure speed when he gets on the open field. But, Cole, he picks up blitzes like a third, fourth-year running back. I mean, we saw Tyler Goodson didn't have the size to be able to make those blocks, but there were times where, you know, Iowa's pass protection would suffer because Iowa's running backs couldn't pick up the blitz. I think Caleb Johnson's done a tremendous job of that. And if the offensive line continues to progress, you get Caden Proctor in there next year, keep Connor Colby at left guard, Logan Jones gets another year. There's a very high ceiling for this Iowa offensive line. I know it's been a frustrating year, but I really do believe that Caleb Johnson next year or the year after, he's going to be an all-Big Ten caliber guy. I really think that the sky is the limit for him. I think he needs to continue to learn about when to change hands and holding the ball in certain traffic situations.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be a dude. He's got that dog in him, I really do think, Cole. He could be special.
Yeah, you've seen a hell of a lot more of him than I have, but what I've seen, for whatever it's worth, he just, like you said, he looks like he will be a dude at some point. The talent definitely looks like it's there. David, more big picture now. Hawkeyes on the road in West Lafayette, a place that's been a snake pit for them in recent seasons. Then it's Wisconsin, then Minnesota, then Nebraska. I mean, they got to win 3 out of these 4, right, to get to bowl eligibility. They got to win 2 out of these 4 to get to bowl eligibility. What do you think the chances are they pull that off?
You know, I really don't know, Cole. I'm leaning toward Iowa doesn't pull it off, but, you know, every time Kirk Ferentz's team's backs are against the wall, they bounce back. I mean, the last 4 seasons, Cole, Iowa's lost 2 or 3 games in a row, and they've come back strong by winning 4 straight. 2020, lost first 2 games, won 6 straight. Obviously, last year, Iowa lost the Big Ten title and the bowl game, but before that, I believe they had a 4-game winning streak to close the season. So Kirk Ferentz and this Iowa team know how to bounce back. I think if they beat Purdue, I think you feel a heck of a lot better about the chances, but yeah, we know how Jeff Brohm schemes, and we know how they like to push the ball down the field. And I'm very intrigued about what the chess match is going to be like between this Iowa defense, and led by Phil Parker, and Jeff Brohm's passing offense, led by six-year quarterback Aiden O'Connell and former Iowa wide receiver Charlie Jones. It's going to be a battle. I think right now every game is a toss-up. I don't think Iowa should be favored against Wisconsin. I don't think they should be favored against Minnesota. And, you know, I know people are going to roll their eyes when I say this. Nebraska is slowly, I think, going to continue to piece it together. I think their offense, if they get Casey Thompson back, I don't know what his prognosis is. They know how to move the football, and they got some dynamic weapons. So I really don't think that a Nebraska game is going to be a pushover either.
Speaking of Charlie Jones, did I detect a little bit of salt in the comments that Kirk Ferentz had to make when asked about the former Hawkeye wide receiver?
You know, maybe a tad bit, but I think Kirk wasn't more frustrated about Charlie. He was frustrated by the timing of the transfer more than anything, in my opinion. I mean, he talked about, yeah, he went through spring. We saw him make big strides in spring, and then he opted to go. And I think at this point, too, there was a point in the press conference where people were asking him four or five questions in a row about Charlie, where it became less about Purdue and more about Charlie. And I think Kirk just got not salty about it. I think he just got more annoyed that that's where the questions were going. And I don't really blame him on that. You want to keep the team together, especially when Purdue's won four out of the last five against you. So I think the timing of the transfer is frustrating, but I do think that one of the most underappreciated quotes about the press conference was when he talked about Charlie. He said, you know, I think the way college football is evolving right now, if you're surprised by much that happens in terms of player movement, those types of things, probably shame on you. And to me, that was a very eye-opening quote because we know how Kirk Ferentz feels about all of this, and we know, and I've told you, Cole, we've talked about it, Iowa's going to have to hit the transfer portal after this season. I mean, it's the roster turnover, you're essentially re-recruiting your own team at this point. And Kirk, I do think what he is worried about how they're going to recruit wide receivers. He didn't directly say it, but you could tell if you read between the lines of this comment that there is going to be some worry about retaining wide receivers and continuing to recruit wide receivers to play in this offense.
Now, I know it was not your report, but just given how much it potentially means to the program, what did you take from Saturday morning Pete Thamel on College Game Day saying that he's been hearing from coaches in the Big Ten that Brian Ferentz may well be departing for an NFL job, perhaps as a position coach? We know that Brian kind of cut his teeth in the NFL. Maybe he has aspirations that go beyond the Iowa football program. You know, maybe he doesn't want to follow in his dad's footsteps, even if that is, you know, actually did become an option for him. What, if anything, do you make of this being out there from Pete Thamel?
Well, I think a couple things. One, this is the first official report that has been out there. I can tell you that I've been hinting about this sort of thing on Hawkeye Insider for probably the past 6 weeks. I know when you and I talked about Brian Ferentz, I think I've alluded to that I believe he's going to leave for a different job. So I can tell you there are legs to that. And Iowa's going to deny that. Brian will deny that, and I understand that.
Sure.
But not that it's been long in the works or anything, and, like, Brian's not actively looking to quit on this season and move on because I think that's not fair to him, and I don't think it's fair to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But I can second Thamel's report, Cole. Again, I think when you and I have touched on this, I've slowly kind of I've tried to give away hints without actually reporting it. But there certainly are legs to it, and it's not going to surprise me whatsoever if Brian's not the offensive coordinator next year by his own choice, not just Iowa. You know, Iowa's not going to fire him. I think it's just he's going to leave on his own.
Sure. Okay, hey, real quick before I let you go, Fran McCaffrey's team, an exhibition last night at Carver Hawkeye, 118-72. They get a win over Jeff Horner's Truman State team. Chris Murray leads the way with 24 points. What, if anything, did you walk out of Carver last night thinking about Fran McCaffrey's team after getting a look at him?
A couple things. One, Cole, I think that this could be Fran McCaffrey's – this could be a better team than last year. I think Chris Murray, I think there's more proven help around them. I think Tony Perkins could be Iowa's first all-Big Ten defensive team player since Jared Utoff back in 2015, 2016. I think they still need to work on rebounding. But shooting's not going to be a problem. Tony Perkins looks like he's going to be an absolute dude. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this team. If they're top four in the Big Ten, Cole, it's not going to surprise me. We need to see how the season unfolds, but it's going to be a fun team, definitely.
I can't wait to see more. David, great stuff as always. Always enjoy it. Have a great rest of your week. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you. Take care.
take care. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. And, yeah, how about that? Pete Thamel on College Game Day on Saturday saying that Big Ten coaches, plural, have told him that they are of the understanding that Brian Ferentz is definitely keeping an eye on potential NFL position coach jobs that might become available. And this seems to me, if Brian Ferentz can see writing on the wall, or maybe there is institutional pressure to make a change that would never be acknowledged, of course, because, well, his dad's the coach and he wants him to leave on the best of terms possible if he can help it, and he will. So maybe there's a way for this to be a somewhat peaceful parting of the ways in the offseason where Brian goes, hey, for one reason or another, it wasn't able to come together and be what I thought it could be, and, you know, liked my time in the NFL, so I'll go back there. Certainly something to keep an eye on as the final weeks of the regular season wind down here. But great stuff as always from David. Let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up during the break. On the other side, we'll talk a little more hoop. You and I men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson met the media yesterday. I've got audio from Coach Jake. It includes who he's going to start tomorrow night in their exhibition against Dubuque. It features a former Cedar Falls Tiger. Yeah, A.J. Green is gone, but guess what? Another Cedar Falls Tiger still in that UNI starting lineup. That and a whole lot more from Coach Jake next on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State coach Matt Campbell says despite an 0-5 record in the Big 12, the Cyclones still will be playing meaningful games in November. ISU will be out to snap a 5-game losing skid at home this weekend against West Virginia.
You know, as long as there's games on the schedule and there's still time left to really chase what it's got the ability to become, I think there's a there's a great sense of urgency right now around our offices and certainly in our meeting rooms, which is exciting to me as the head football coach.
Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says issues in the offensive line are from a lack of experience and not a lack of toughness. He was asked about an ESPN report that quoted unnamed coaches who called Iowa's offensive line soft.
These guys are all young guys with great futures, and they got good work ethics and all that. So it's just, you know, they need work is what they need. So I think we got the right guys, but we're, you know, like to get them to age a little faster, that's all.
The Hawkeyes are 4-4 and visit Purdue this week. This is Radio Iowa.
This is a warning for Iowa taxpayers. Democrats have a radical plan to make Iowa more like California, and they've picked liberal Deidre DeGeer to get it done. Reckless government spending, higher taxes, even an extreme environmental plan that would destroy family farms. Even worse, when DeGeer disrespected police and refused to stand for law enforcement, Iowa Democrats didn't even care. That tells you all you need to know. Deidre DeGeer and her Democrat allies, too liberal for Iowa.
There's a better choice. Governor Kim Reynolds. With inflation spinning out of control, Kim Reynolds cut taxes to help seniors and working families. When Democrats attacked police, Reynolds backed the blue. And when the radical left tried to shut the country down, Reynolds fought back, keeping schools and business open. Kim Reynolds, common sense leadership for Iowa.
Paid for by the Kim Reynolds for Iowa Committee.
Improve your students' grades with Club Z Tutoring. With a customized learning program designed specifically for your student, Club Z provides quality tutoring right in your own home or online. With learning programs to fit your family's needs and preferences and no signing long contracts, Club Z is your best solution to ensure success. SAT, ACT, test prep, and small group options are also available. Pre-K to pre-med, Club Z has the program for you. Mention this ad to get your first session free. Visit ClubZTutoring.com today.
The weather may be getting colder and your layers may be getting heavier, but Cyclone football is still here and ready to rumble this Saturday. Iowa State takes on West Virginia this Saturday at 2:30. Grab your tickets today at Cyclones.com for as low as $60. Let's pack the jack and cheer on the Cyclones. Iowa State versus West Virginia, Saturday at 2:30. Watch the Cyclones at home against the Mountaineers. There's only two more chances to catch your Cyclones live this season, so get your tickets now.
Your parking lot is part of your business's first impression. When you look at your lot, what do you see? People parking too close together here, too far apart there, faded lines, or none at all? Imagine how your lot would look with fresh striping and orderly parking. Winter is quickly approaching, but you still have time.
I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Make sure your employees and customers have direction. We're known for our extraordinary service and attention to detail. Call us or go online to alinestriping.com.
Hot tubs, saunas, pools, chemicals, parts, grills, pellets, seasonings are all available locally at Tubs R Us. I'm Mike with Tubs R Us. We've been serving the Cedar Valley since 1994 with reputable service and quality products like QCA spas. Stop into our showroom to explore ways to turn your home into an oasis with a new spa, sauna, pool, or smoker grill. Whether you want quality time with your loved ones, to simply relax, or to entertain friends, we're here for you. We are Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls and Ainsboro, Waterloo.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM, and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Just checking in here on a few area scores at the state high school volleyball tournament. Denver's season ends in a Class 2A quarterfinal as Hinton gets a 3-straight-set win over the Cyclones. Congratulations to Denver volleyball on an outstanding season. And then also looking right now, let's see here. Credit to Zach Martin from the Mason City Globe Gazette as I look at his Twitter account. Zach's a nice guy. Give him a follow on Twitter if you're not already, at Zach_Martin95. It looks to me like, what do we got here? Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont currently with a 2-1 set lead over Wapsie Valley. And it looks like that fourth set is well underway at this point. So maybe we'll have an update on that before we go off the air at the end of the hour. For complete results of today's quarterfinal matches at the State High School Volleyball Tournament, make sure you tune in to Maximum Mornings tomorrow with Mark Simpson between 6 and 8. All right, we're talking UNI men's basketball right now, and Ben Jacobson, the Panthers head coach, met the media yesterday ahead of the Panthers exhibition tomorrow night at McLeod Center against Dubuque, and I got right down to it. I said, Coach Jacobson, who you starting tomorrow night in that exhibition game?
Trey, Bowen, Nate, Titan, and James. That is the group that started a week ago in our scrimmage against Wisconsin, and we'll start those guys again on Wednesday. Cole has been out for, it's been probably a week to 10 days that Cole Henry's been out, banged up his ankle a little bit, was able to work out yesterday, and I think he feels pretty good today. So our hope is that he's available and able to play on Wednesday. I don't know if that would change the starting lineup, but he has been out for a week to 10 days. He did not play in the scrimmage against Wisconsin. And, again, hope that he is available to get going on Wednesday against Dubuque.
So you heard Coach Jacobson confirm that former Cedar Falls standout true freshman guard Trey Campbell getting the start in that exhibition against Dubuque tomorrow night. So big news there. And then Cole Henry, the forward, has been nursing an ankle injury and is questionable to play tomorrow night. He figures to be a big part of the Panthers' front court this season. And while final scores are hardly ever revealed from any of those secret scrimmages, Coach Jacobson went on to talk more about his team's performance in that scrimmage against the Wisconsin Badgers.
Some of the things that we liked, we were able to, when we got out into the open floor and got into some things into our offense just a little bit quicker with a little bit of pace when we advanced the basketball, that was good to us. It took us a little bit to get going. It took us kind of 12 to 15 minutes to get settled and get going. Once we did, we played pretty well. The last 20 to 25 minutes, we played pretty good. And a couple of things that we've worked on since are our rebounding at the defensive end of the floor. Here's one that we've worked quite a bit on here in the past week. Oh, we fouled too much. That was the other one. There was two things that came out of it, and those were the two. Right? We fouled too much. A couple at the offensive end, moving screens. A couple defensively. where we just put our hands on guys, and that typically happens early in the year with that part of it. But yeah, we've worked on both those things here over the last week.
With Coach Jake's announcement that former Tiger Trey Campbell will start as a true freshman and be wearing the same number 4 that A.J. Green previously did, he was asked, any pressure that comes with those circumstances for Trey?
Yeah, I guess I hadn't put all of that together in terms of the jersey number and playing for the Tigers. Obviously the number 4 that just left had a terrific career, and as I would tell you about all of our guys, like that of course was AJ's career, and he had a great one, and he's in a great spot right now, and I'm sure everybody's following him pretty closely, and he's doing really well. And Trey's career is going to be Trey's career, and that's probably the best way I can put it. And we ask that of all of our guys, that we want more than anything, we want our guys to be who they are. Okay, they're different players. The two things you mentioned are 100% correct in terms of the wearing number 4 and being from here in town, but they are different young guys. They are different players. They're going to have different careers. We think Trey is going to have a terrific career, right? But it's going to be Trey's career.
We talked about that UNI starting lineup, but entering this season, UNI's bench is going to feature at least 3 regulars that are getting their first real college basketball experience. Those 3 include former Cedar Falls standout Landon Wolf, along with Dubuque native Michael Duax, and an international recruit in Ige Pexari. I asked Coach Jake to talk about what he's seen from that second unit so far.
Landon did a nice job a week ago against Wisconsin. Came in off the bench and got some baskets and scored. And that's what we're asking him to do, is to be a guy that can get points for us. And we think he's going to be able to do that. And he's done it in practice. He did it in the scrimmage. Going to be a really important part of what we're doing. His ability to not just make threes, but he can bounce it once or twice and make shots in between. Michael Duax has practiced really well. Didn't scrimmage as well as he's been practicing, but a guy who can get things done going to the basket and around the rim. And Derek Krogman played pretty good the other day in the scrimmage. And he and James pretty well split time in that scrimmage, and Krogs did a nice job. His impact is more at the defensive end of the floor and in rebounding both ends. But he finished the half well for us in that scrimmage. He had was a part of 4 consecutive defensive stops. He blocked a shot. He got a deflection to get a steal. He rebounded the basketball. And he's good to the offensive glass. So you think extra possessions. Krogs is a guy that we feel like can do that. And then we'll see. Cole had been practicing well. Again, he's been out for a week to 10 days. And we've seen Cole play some, right? He's his ability to handle the ball, pass the ball, make our offense work, make our offense go, is something that we know Cole's going to be able to provide for us. And so, yeah, in their own way. And it's, we learn a little bit each and every day, and we're going to learn a lot on Wednesday, and we're going to learn a lot on Monday. With the nature of the way the roster is, right? Half the guys haven't played a college game, and half of what's left has played a couple college games, right? So, we'll learn a lot each time we go out there.
And finally, Coach Jake, what are you looking for from your team tomorrow night in the exhibition against Dubuque?
Yeah, defensively, one of the things we've talked about since we started practice over a month ago was our ability to guard the basketball. And against Dubuque, look, they've got the majority of their team back. They won their conference championship last year. Robbie's done a terrific job, as we know. And so they're bringing a good team in. They're picked to win their league again. And with, I think, 7 of their top 9 are back, and they brought in a Division II transfer that I think is going to start for them. So you really have got 8 guys. So it'll be another good team that we see with Dubuque. And anytime you're playing against one of their teams, they're going to work to spread you out. Right? They're going to work to drive it, and all 5 guys are going to take 3-point shots. So it challenges you in terms of guarding the basketball, and that's one of the things that we have worked on and talked with our guys about since we started practicing. So that would be number 1, our ability to guard the basketball. And then offensively, how much pace can we play with? As I talked about from the scrimmage, I just mentioned it briefly, we played better when the pace picked up, and we got the ball into the front court. We got into a drag screen. Our offense was better. So those would be the two things that I would point to.
That exhibition tips off at 7 tomorrow night at McLeod Center. Quick reminder here, and I'll tell you on the other side as well, Week 3 Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy selections now available to be made online. You can always check back on late Tuesday morning. I get in Tuesday morning after Monday Night Football is over. Count up everybody's picks. It takes a little bit of time, as you might imagine. So just to sort out any confusion, you can always come back late Tuesday mornings and expect that next week's lineup of picks to be ready. So go now, as we've got a number of people that have made really good picks. Maybe you haven't won. There's only been two winners so far. Congrats to Mike Prideaux on his win this week. He gets a $50 gift certificate to Dad's Pub, our great host of Fan Frenzy this year. And he's right there with Dan Praska and a whole bunch of you other guys and gals that have played both weeks so far that have gotten six. A lot of you have gotten six right both weeks, or maybe 6 1 week and 5 the next week. You put a couple really good weeks together, you're going to be right in the thick of things. So don't bow out now. Don't miss a week now. And if you haven't played, get in and play. Give yourself a chance to win a weekly $50 value prize. Go to 1650thefan.com. Right there, smack dab on the homepage. Pigskin Pick'em Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy Week 3 is underway. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Omar Reese with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. In the Battle of Ohio, it was the Browns who shocked the Bengals 32-13 on Monday Night Football. Nick Chubb rushing for 101 yards and two scores. Joe Burrow throwing an interception and losing a fumble. The Bears traded linebacker Roquan Smith to the Ravens in exchange for 2023 second and fifth round picks and linebacker A.J. Klein, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Smith, the eighth overall pick in the 2018 draft, currently leads the league with 83 total tackles and has 2.5 sacks and 2 interceptions this season. More from Rappaport. Saints running back Mark Ingram suffered a grade 2 MCL sprain and will likely miss 3 to 4 weeks. Rams head coach Sean McVay saying he anticipates that Cooper Kupp will play Sunday against the Bucs despite suffering an ankle injury in the loss to the Niners. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
This is Kent.
And TJ.
With Hawkeye Audio Video.
We're making it easy.
To shop local and support small business.
Our pricing is the same as Amazon.
Or Best Buy.
Plus, now we offer shop by text.
Text us for info on TVs and surround sound systems.
319-277-4566.
Google our phone number and text us.
Questions about TV sizes, measurements, features?
Text us.
You can make an in-home appointment.
Place an order.
Set up delivery.
Talk with TJ.
Just text us.
We are
Hawkeye Audio Video.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. To start the season, there weren't many expectations surrounding the Cleveland Browns. But with the win over the Bengals last night and Deshaun Watson's suspension nearing a close, the Browns could once again be a factor. The AFC is loaded with competitive teams, but with Cleveland going into a bye week, the team is just 2 games behind the Ravens for first place in the AFC North. After missing over a year, we can't be too certain what to expect from Watson when he does come back. The last time we saw him on the field in Houston, he looked great. That could help the Browns salvage what at one point appeared to be a lost season. The team has an elite running game, a bright offensive coach in Kevin Stefanski, Amari Cooper's playing like a true number one receiver, and if the defense can continue to build off last night's impressive performance, the Browns may be able to stay just competitive enough to have a shot in the playoffs. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. From the four corners of the globe, the world's greatest set their sights on one goal, the Breeders' Cup World Championships, coming to iconic Keeneland this November 4th and 5th. Over 2 days and 14 championship races, the pinnacle of international thoroughbred racing will put the most jaw-dropping, heart-pounding spectacle before your very eyes. Coverage begins Friday on USA, continues Saturday on USA and NBC. Visit breederscup.com/2022 to learn more. Holidays are approaching, our schedules are about to get a little busier. Even the most motivated guy around can find the holidays exhausting. You can start getting ahead of it now with M-Drive. Supplements that address stress, weight, and energy so you can feel your best and enjoy the holidays. For my listeners, Black Friday starting early. Get 25% off all M-Drive supplements through November. Text Dan to 55,000 for your exclusive code. Text Dan to 55000. Message and data rates may apply.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com for joining today's show. Do have one more area final result, or final result from area teams at the state volleyball tournament. Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont with a 3-1 win over Wapsie Valley. Congrats to the Warriors on a great season. They close out 40-5 overall. Good luck to everybody else yet to play tonight. Get full results tomorrow morning between 6 and 8 with Mark Simpson on Maximum Mornings. Have a great night, everybody. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.